Welcome, everyone. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I thought the songs were so fitting this morning. To again, we're together and to commemorate and to do something that Jesus taught us. That's a blessing to me. Together, as collectively as a body, we can do this together. Joys are flowing. I hope that the joys that you have, joy in your heart, in thinking, in being reminded again of what Christ has done for us. God forbid that we would ever forget. That it could be more meaningful to us every time. This morning, I want to share a verse from the New Testament that has just really spoken to me, and I want to share that verse, a few other verses in the New Testament, then we want to go to the Old Testament. I desire an interest in your prayers this morning as we together look into the Word of God, and again, think about why we are here today. You know, I think it's important that when our children ask us, why? Why do we take bread? Why do we want unleavened bread? There's a reason. Leaven and unleavened is in the scripture, and it tells us why that we would like to use unleavened bread. Why do we drink of the cup? When our children ask us, you know, it's been interesting to me over the years, the times that I have been standing up front here serving, and the little grandchildren come along with their parents, and I can see on their face, I want a piece. You know, why does Daddy get a piece and I don't? And we have an opportunity to tell them what that piece of bread is for, what it means, and the cup, and washing feet. Why? Why do we wash feet? We have it in Scripture. And I'm blessed with that. Now, this verse that has troubled me, and I would like to hear from you if you can explain it in a way that it's easy for me to understand. It's in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. Now, the verse says this, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, when I first would read that and think about it and meditate on it and just ask God, that's not fair. That's not fair that he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Now, if he would have chosen me to do that, it would make more sense because I have sinned. But Jesus didn't know sin. He had no sin. And we have the scripture in Hebrews 4, verse 15. "For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." So we can have that confidence or assurance that Jesus knows what we're going through. And that's a blessing to me. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. But here in this verse that I just read, the first verse, he was made sin for us. Now, the way I would understand that, and the way that I would encourage you, if I'm wrong, that you would correct me. The way, thank you. The way I would understand that is this, that when Jesus hung there on the cross, to those that saw that, to those that of us that think about that today, and I'm so looking forward to being reminded of the sufferings of Christ, he was punished or was willing to do that because of sin. Not that he had sin in his life, not that he was deserved that, but he took that blame for me and for all of us. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Now what does the next part say? It says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, do you read from that scripture that it's saying we can do enough righteousness that we can be, we're righteous. I mean, we're going to make it. No. What does Isaiah 64:6 tell us? That our own righteousnesses are what? Are as filthy rags in his sight. So it's not something that we can do. But through his righteousness, through his work on the cross, we can be made righteous. And that's a blessing. That's amazing. That's why we have joys are flowing. I think we should see that in every heart that's here this morning. Joys are flowing. Praise the Lord. Can we hear that? Praise the Lord. Now, let's back up a few verses there in 2 Corinthians. In verse 15 it says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." That's a verse for us, isn't it? "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves." Doesn't that come naturally for us? To live for ourselves? Yes. "But unto him which died for them and rose again." Now, I'd like to back up to 1 Corinthians, chapter 5. Starting verse 7, verse 6. "Your glorying is not good." And I would explain that to say that to glory in ourselves, to glory where I'm at, to glory in what I'm doing, is not good. "No, either not. That a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." So there we have the word leaven. Leaven is a type of what?
Yeast.
So what does yeast do? It's a type of sin. Somebody mentioned that.
Corrupts the bad.
And it what?
Spreads.
And grows. A little leaven. So it just takes a little bit. Leaven at the whole lump. "Purge out therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. Christ is our Passover. Now, we want to go to the Old Testament this morning, and we want to, again, look at some of these things that will help us to understand and point us to the New Testament for when Christ did this on the cross. And I so look forward to what Brother Julian has for us. in the sufferings of Christ, what he went through for us. And we see, we have things that happened in the Old Testament that points us to that. But I want you to remember in your mind this thing that I talked about, leaven and unleavened. Right? And I'm so glad that we chose, through the church earlier, we chose to use unleavened bread at our communion. The beautiful type that it is. We used to do it the other way, but I like this better. And I'm thankful for that. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 12. Now, all of us are familiar, I'm sure. We've read it many times. We know what happened when God asked Moses and Aaron to go down to Pharaoh. God says that he saw the affliction of the people, and he planned a way to help them, to take them out of Egypt. We have something that happened here that's a blessing. Now, we won't cover all of it for the sake of time. Chapter 12, verse 1. And this is talking about the Passover. Now, we could go back and look at some of the things that happened, but I don't think we'll take the time to do that. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. So here we have instructions, don't we? He gave them instructions what they should do. They should take a lamb. Later we see that they could take a lamb or a goat. In verse 5 then. And if the house will be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now here we have some more instructions. Take a lamb or a goat that's the right size for your family. What does it make a difference if we don't have quite enough? Or if we have too much, what difference does that make? But let's notice the instructions, the clear instructions that God gives them. This is in the Old Testament, and it's important. We have instructions today. One of those things was, in this past week, we have a time of what? What does the scripture say in the New Testament? Examine yourself. A time of soul searching. What did you find in the last days? Maybe you relaxed after Wednesday evening when you gave your testimony. Everything's clear. I have peace with God and my fellow man. I am clear. I don't have to think about the next days. Is that the way it works? Sometimes. But sometimes God continues to point to something in our life that, brother, there's something there. You need to confess. Your attitude is not right. There's something in your heart. Sometimes that happens. Then what do we do about it? Oh, well, it's all right. It's not as bad as someone else. It's not as bad. No. We want the blessing of the Lord to rest upon this service here today. What I experience, what you experience, what we experience together. That's what we want. So if God spoke to you and gave you some more clear instructions Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and even this morning, We should heed to that, shouldn't we? Yes, because we want the blessing of God to rest upon us, to rest upon this service. Here he's giving instructions to the children of Israel, a lamb or a goat. From the first year, well, why not let me use that old animal that I have that's lame, that's, I can't get anything for him. Let's use that one. He's got a blemish on his back, but I can take some paint and paint it to where you can't see it. That's good enough. Is that the attitude that we should have? This is for a special service. Now, I talked to someone and I asked them about this certain person that I have known for a long time, and he deals in horses. He's a horse trader, whatever you call him. And he didn't have a good report to say about my friend. I was shocked and disappointed and hurt because I thought the world of this man. I said, what are you talking about? And he said, when he has a sale, he gives these horses steroids, puts them on dope, so they act different than when they don't have this. Shame on him. So if we have that attitude, or if they would have had that attitude about this lamb, I will get one that's, you know, we'll soup him up a little bit with some steroids or something to make him, and we'll slick him with some kind of oil that he looks perfect. No, that's not what we want. They had instructions what to do. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now, wait a minute. This was to start on the 10th and here the 14th. So there was some time here. And surely that's not necessary to take that much time, but God gave them instructions. How many days? You obey them. You obey them. And they shall take of the blood. They shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night and roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat of it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the firmness thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now, we notice the unleavened bread. And we have more scripture that tells us to make sure there is no leaven in your house in this time. Well, if I'd have some leavened bread, couldn't we hide it under the blanket or in the closet? No. Don't have it. You're not supposed to have it in the house. Now, I have a question. Maybe some of you can help me understand this about these bitter herbs. They shall eat it. And, you know, they were supposed to, later we noticed that they were supposed to take of this hyssop and soak it in blood and this bitter herbs and put it on the doorpost. And some thought that maybe that because the hyssop had brushes, kind of like a paintbrush, that could easier put this blood on the doorpost. But anyway, that's not a big thing. The thing that maybe you have an answer why we don't drink this I would like to think that what is referring to is to help them remember what they were being delivered from in Egypt. They were under bondage. They were living in all kinds of conditions. And after Moses and Aaron started telling them, hey, we're getting ready to leave. We're getting ready to have an exodus. I mean, how soon did they? Why don't you leave us alone? Since you come and talk to us about that, they have made us go get our own straw. They have made us work a whole lot harder. We still have to come up with the same amount of bricks that we did before, but get our own supplies. Leave us alone. But God saw their affliction, and he wanted to do something to deliver them. But he gave them instructions. Now, are you willing to follow them? Now, this is so serious. It was so serious to them. Several times in this account, we read that God told them, if they eat, if they in verse 15, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. That's serious. That soul shall be cut off from Israel. Well, that's serious to me. Be cut off. No more a part of them. We have that several places in this scripture. So it was serious about taking these instructions that God gave them and keeping them. So we notice when they took this blood, put it on the sideposts, it says, this is the Lord's Passover. And they told them that they have to eat it in haste. They have to eat it with their shoes on, be ready to leave real quick. For I will pass through the land, in verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token among the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. How meaningful today, this important thing that they did is for us today. When Jesus sees the blood, I will pass over you. Amazing. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Something that they could do again on the outside that had a spiritual meaning. And I like that. We see that in communion. We see that in feet washing. We see that. We see that. And that's so much a part of us. In verse 26. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? And I refer to that earlier. That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. I like that picture. When our children ask us, we have an answer. We tell them why we do what we do. What did it cause the people to do? They remember and cause them to worship. And I like that. It caused them to think about in remembrance of what Christ has done. And that's what we want to do today, in remembrance of what he has done. Now, I just can't hardly imagine how that would have been. It would be so interesting to know how many people were in Egypt from the Egyptians. According to the scripture here in verse 29 and 30, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one bed.
I can't grasp that. I can't imagine how that would be. A person dead in each house. God had their attention, didn't he? And then they went and got Moses in there and said, get out, leave. We know what happened. We know what happened then.
There's one more thought here. They had these instructions, and they were to follow them when the blood was applied. I will pass over you. They left. Does that mean now they've obeyed? Now our troubles are over. We obeyed. Our troubles are over. We're now free. Didn't last very long, did it? When they came to the wilderness, when they came to the Red Sea, and the beautiful way of God, how God led them with the pillar of fire and the night, that is so beautiful. But they came up against, what did the people start saying? Moses and Aaron. Was it because there were no graves in Egypt? Why did you bring us out here in the desert to kill us out here? You know, we're against. What are we going to do? They came to the Red Sea. The enemy behind them. What did the Lord say? Moses. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Now, that's been my prayer again, is today we will see, again be reminded of the salvation of the Lord. Stand still. Forget about our work at home. Forget about the deer season that opened yesterday and the big bucks that were shot. Forget about those things. Today, stand still. Be quiet. Think about what Christ has done for us. And see the salvation of the Lord. May the Lord bless all of us. Bless Brother Julian as you share from God's holy word. And may we be attentive and listen. Let's come to the Lord.